Good morning, friends. Good morning, Lighties. I would like to welcome you to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. The topic for today is the priesthood. So today we'll be looking at the book of Zechariah. We'll be focusing on that book, and I would like us to learn some lessons on redemption. Like me, I'm sure some of you do get time to sit down and look at what's happening around us, what's happening in our communities, in our cities, and across the nations, and ask yourself, is God still in the business of redemption? Is still God redeeming his people? Easter for me, we just celebrated Easter, like I said. Easter for me was a time to reflect, to look at what God has done in my life, and to look at how salvation has impacted my life and the things and the people around me. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through the Jesus Christ from the dead." And the Bible is clear. The Bible says God has given us new birth. You know, when we just got born again, we thought this new birth was just God preparing us to go to heaven. But as we grew into the things of God, you begin to realize that the new birth that God has given us through his Son cuts across many things. It cuts across our relationship with our neighbors, our relationship with the people that we live with, our marriages, the way we raise our kids, the way we behave at work, the way we interact with the community, the way we interact with nature. Salvation has an impact on all those things. Salvation, or this new birth, has an impact on the way we look at things, at issues, and the way we interpret things. So we thank God. I thank God for redemption. Praise God. I hope you thank God for redemption, because it cuts across many things and many issues. So today we'll be looking at the book of Zechariah and just learn some lessons from the book of Zechariah. Now, some of you might be saying, but Zechariah is in the Old Testament. You are right. The book of Zechariah is in the Old Testament, and it was God speaking through the prophet Zechariah to the Israelites, delivering a message. But I know that we know that this word is living, and what is in the Old Testament was put there so that we can look at how God dealt with his people, so that we can learn the lessons from there. And we also get some prophecies from the Old Testament prophesying about Christ, or the coming of Christ, or how Christ would deal with the church. Praise the name of God. I love the meaning of the word Zechariah. It means the Lord remembers. So does the Lord remember our communities? Does the Lord remember us? Does he see what's happening around us? We will see into the word of God. So we'll get straight into the word of God. Zechariah chapter 1. So in Zechariah chapter 1 and chapter 2, it's God's promises to the people of Israel. And just to give you a background, they are just returned from exile. And God is waking, is raising people amongst them to help them rebuild their cities, rebuild their lives. It's getting back to their values, getting back to walking with God and rebuilding their cities, the physical city, the infrastructure, and their lives. And God is raising people, and one of the people or the persons that God raises is the prophet Zechariah. And this is what God says through him. So in the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Idel. Verse 2, the Lord was very angry with your ancestors. So God is speaking to him. He's speaking to him about the past, and he's speaking to him about the future, about the past, to remind him how the ancestors dealt with God, or how they responded to the messages of God. And the Bible makes it clear that God was very angry with the ancestors. No wonder they found themselves in exile, and obviously some of them, they were no more, they had died. In verse 3, therefore tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says, return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. So we see again, there's a bit of promise there. God saying, if you return to me, I'll return to you. So God is in the business, is always in the business of returning to his people as long as they return to him. In verse 5, where are your ancestors now and the prophets? Do they live forever? So friends, we have to remember that you and me, we are like flowers. We are here today, tomorrow we are no more. We do not live forever. We are here today, tomorrow we are no longer. Just as the Israelites, praise God. Verse 16, therefore, this is what the Lord says, I will return to Jerusalem with mercy. God always returns with mercy. And there my house will be rebuilt, and the measuring line will be straight out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, friends, I want to encourage you that as you listen to this word, as you listen to the promises that were given to Jerusalem, to the Israelites, I want you to have your community, I want you to have your neighbors, your family members in mind as you listen to these words. What is the promise? Is there a promise for them from God? The Bible says, and I will return with mercy. Praise God. Verse 17, proclaim favor. This is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity. So God is speaking to a people that have returned to a city that is broken. But God gives them a promise. And he says, my towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. So we are looking at the promises. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, and in fact in verse 5, and I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord, and I will be its glory within. Verse 6, come, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord, for I have scattered you to the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord. So God is calling them that you were scattered, you went on your own. Now I want you to come back, because as the Bible says, I will return with mercy. Praise God. I believe in my heart that God will return with mercy to South Beach, to Durban, to our nation, to the nations around the world. But I know you are still asking, but where does we fit into the story? Because the story or the promises were made to the Israelites. We'll see into scripture as we read through. Praise God. In verse 8, for this is what the Lord Almighty says, after the glorious one has sent me against the nations that have plundered you. For whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. Praise God. Shout and be glad, daughter Zion, for I am coming and I will live among you, declares the Lord. Verse 11, many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Verse 12, the Lord will inherit Judah and as his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. So remember, we are speaking about the priesthood. Praise God. Now, from the two chapters that we have read, it's the promises of God to Jerusalem. It's a promise to rebuild their cities, rebuild their houses, or to rebuild their lives. And it's a promise of prosperity. It's a promise of protection. It's a promise of God returning to them with mercy. Praise God. Now, where do the priesthood fit into the picture? And we go to the book of Zechariah chapter 3. Chapter 3, we start from verse 1. In this one, the Bible says this. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. Now, as we will see from scripture as we go down, if you also see, if you read in the Old Testament, the work of the priest was to stand between God and man. And the Bible says they offered sacrifices to God so that God would forgive, to atone for the sins of the people, so that God would look at his people with mercy. So after the promises, after God had given them the promises, they still needed a priest to stand in between God and the people so that the promises could come to fruition. In other words, the priest plays a major role in what happens to these people, in rebuilding their cities, in rebuilding their lives, in returning to the values, in returning to walking with God in obedience. The priest would play a major role. And the prophet Zechariah, the Bible says, "And I will show Joshua performing his duties before God." In verse 2, the Lord said, in verse 1, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him." Now, in this vision that was shown to Zechariah, there was God, Joshua performing his duties, but then there was Satan standing next to Joshua. And the Bible makes it clear, Satan was there to accuse him, to point fingers at him. In verse 3, "Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel." God, Joshua, Satan, and the Bible is very clear, Satan was accusing Joshua. And the Bible tells us why, because Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes before, and he stood before the angel. Verse 4, "The angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Take off his filthy clothes.' Then he said to Joshua, 'See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you.' Verse 5, 'Then I said, 'Put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by." Verse 6, "The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua." This is what the Lord Almighty says: "If you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing." God, the angel, Joshua, Satan accusing him. And the Bible is clear, they were accusing him because he was putting on filthy garments. But you see, God is gracious and merciful. He did not agree with the devil and kick away Joshua. The angel of the Lord said, "Take off the filthy garments." And then they put clean garments on Joshua. Praise God. And we know from the New Testament, the Bible says the devil is the accuser of brethren. And we understand why we need to understand that. So we see the two chapters in the book of Zechariah. It's the promises. Then we see the need for the priest. And we also see the need for the priest to put on clean turbans or clean garments. Praise God. Now, where do you and me fit into the story? In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So the first thing that we see here, the Bible says that you and me are a chosen people and a royal priesthood. Praise God. So you and me would be standing in the place that Joshua was standing in. Praise God. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 says this: "Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin." Verse 2, "He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant, are going astray, since he himself is subject to weaknesses." So the Bible is again helping us to understand that you and me are priests together, as we'll see in Hebrews chapter 4, together with Christ, we are priests. So God has delivered us through Jesus Christ, given us new birth. But besides just or beyond receiving that new birth, the Bible says we have been brought along as priests to minister to God on behalf of others. Praise God. But bearing in mind that we also have weaknesses. And in Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest, we are priests, but there's a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So the Bible says you and me would be standing in the place of Joshua as priests. But then the Bible says Jesus is the high priest. We are also priests along with him. But you and me have weaknesses. And the Bible says Jesus, he came into this world, lived as a man, even though he was the Son of God, and he went through all the temptations. And because of that, the Bible says he empathizes with us, he understands, and is willing to stand there and give us grace, just as Joshua was given grace. Praise God. Now, friends, when you and me became born again, as I said, salvation cuts across many spheres of life. Yes, we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. It impacts on our lives, the way we live our lives, the way we look at things. But another thing is that you and me have been called and commissioned to go into the world. Praise God. Jesus brought the kingdom of God. And Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. So you and me, our duty is not to establish or to bring the kingdom, because Jesus brought the kingdom. But you and me have been commissioned to go into the world to preach the word of God, to declare it to the people, but also to live it out. So in as much as our works, our actions do not establish the kingdom of God, but our works or the work that God has done in our lives points people to the transforming power of the word of God. Praise God. In Chronicles chapter 2, verse 7, let me read from verse 14. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. So friends, God has given many promises. There are many promises for the non-believers, the people that are lost in our communities, the corrupt people that you think you know. The many things, there's promises that God has for our cities, our nations, our families. But for those promises to come to fruition, there has to be a priest who is willing to stand between man and between God. We do that, friends, sometimes in praying for the nations, praying for our families, praying for our communities, living a life that can point people to God. Just as Joshua, recognizing our weaknesses and sometimes recognizing that we might be ourselves wearing dirty robes, dirty garments, and come to God and in repentance so that those garments may be removed, so that when we stand to pray, to proclaim the word of God, the enemy will not be standing there to accuse us, that you and me will not walk in bitterness, unforgiveness, that you and me will not walk in the same corruption that the people that do not know God might be walking in, so that the enemy will not have anything to point a finger at us. In Matthew 5, 16, the Bible says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise God. The Bible says, you are salt and light. And then, looking at the priesthood, we understand that you and me are priests together with Jesus Christ. He is the high priest. And the Bible says, he empathizes with us. It's the same high priest who is standing with mercy to give to the unbelievers. He's the same high priest who is standing with grace to give to the non-believers. But for that to take place, friends, you and me need to take our position as priests. We need to pray for them. We need to proclaim the word of God. And we need to live lives that are exemplary, lives that will point to the transforming power of the God of good promises, of the God of the promise of salvation. May you have a good week and God bless you.